From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. We'll start tonight with the latest on the Ebola patient in Dallas. Health officials today zeroed in on the Vickery Meadow apartment where Thomas Eric Duncan had been staying while he visited relatives. Those family members were ordered by the state to stay in that apartment so health officials can monitor them. KERA's Bill Zeeble says a Dallas County sheriff is stationed outside.
Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins says the move to confine those four to their apartment wasn't easy. But after consulting with state and federal health officials and Governor Rick Perry, everyone agreed it was the right decision.
They were noncompliant with the request to stay home. We do not intend to have to do that again.
Jenkins says health officials need to monitor the residents, taking their temperature twice a day to see if they start showing symptoms of Ebola.
If they're not at home when we go out to do our surveillance test on them, then that defeats the purpose of that surveillance test, and that endangers them. If they were to be infected, they need to know that as quickly as possible.
On Thursday, the family wasn't showing any symptoms. Jenkins said in a separate press conference with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that the apartment they're confined to needs cleaning.
There is a garbage bag of the man's clothes and belongings. They've got a bag of household trash, and they have mattresses pushed against the wall. And I believe the household trash would consist of the sheets that he slept on. We want to ensure that they are getting regular food, that house is cleaned.
That was expected to happen today. There were questions about moving the tenants to a clean or sterile environment. Dave Daigle with the CDC said there's no need yet.
Because they're not without the symptoms, they're not a danger right now.
The four family members in the apartment had the closest direct contact with Duncan while he was in the Vickery Meadow neighborhood. Health officials spent the day winnowing down as many as 100 possible people who'd been in contact with him, trying to make sure Ebola doesn't spread. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
The list of people who may have come in contact with the Ebola patient continues to grow. The Richardson School District this afternoon announced it has pulled three students from Wallace Elementary in Lake Highlands because they might have been in contact with Thomas Eric Duncan. The district says the three siblings are not showing symptoms of the illness, but were taken out of school as a precaution. The district learned about the students from Dallas County Health and Human Services Department. In Dallas ISD, officials announced yesterday that five students were taken out of schools for possible exposure. Today, attendance at those campuses was down.
We're at 86% attendance for those five schools. The rest of the district is the same, but it's usually around 95-96% for those five schools.
That's Dallas ISD Superintendent Mike Miles. He says teacher attendance was normal. Nurses are making two rounds at each of the schools to check whether students are showing symptoms. Additional custodians are on hand to do extra cleaning. At Conrad High School, one of the campuses affected, student Michelle Bullard is worried.
I kind of feel scared in a way because I don't know who it was that had it, and I don't know if I had contact with them.
The five students who have been pulled out of class can continue their studies from home. The patient with Ebola remains in serious condition today. So what happens when a hospital takes on a patient with Ebola? KERA's Lauren Silverman reports on how a high-profile case can affect business in the ER.
Thursday afternoon, there was no wait time at Texas Health Presbyterian's emergency room in Dallas. Usually, it takes about 45 minutes to see a doctor. But less than a week after a patient confirmed to have Ebola came through the ER, it's not the most popular place.
If I lived in Dallas and became ill, I would head straight for the Texas Health ER, knowing that the waiting lines are so short.
Dr. Albert Wu is professor of health policy and management at the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. He says even if the fear isn't rational, the panic will have a short-term effect on business.
Emergency departments are certainly one of the main routes to getting hospital admissions. And so for almost every big hospital, the emergency room is a crucial way to get patients.
In most cases, emergency departments don't choose their patients. Sometimes they have the flu or heart problems. Sometimes it's infectious diseases like the measles or tuberculosis. In 2003, a man showed up at the Lehigh Valley Emergency Room in Allentown, Pennsylvania, with symptoms that looked like SARS. Dr. Alexander Rosenau, the president of the American College of Emergency Physicians, remembers what happened next.
One of our physicians recognized the respiratory component together with diarrhea and vomiting and fever and came out of the room and asked everybody to immediately glove up, put on their respiratory equipment and their universal precautions. And sure enough, this was identified as a patient with SARS.
One of the first SARS cases in the U.S. The patient was isolated and no one else got sick.
Human nature is to take a step back when something like that happens. And it's part of our job as educated practitioners to let them know where the risk is and what to avoid and where the risk is not.
Rosenau says the Allentown Emergency Department didn't suffer as a result of handling the SARS case appropriately. The situation is different in Dallas because the man sick with Ebola was sent home the first time he visited Texas Health Presbyterian. 2 days later, when he returned in an ambulance, he was put in isolation. Still, Albert Wu at Johns Hopkins says he doesn't expect patients to permanently avoid the ER.
I expect that this is just a blip. Airline stocks dipped in the last day or two also, but I think it's probably a good opportunity to buy airline stocks.
Or visit the ER. In the long run, Wu says the hospital could actually benefit.
I'm not sure that they're going to make their reputation on we do the best job curing Ebola cases, send them to us. But they are getting their name mentioned, and in the end, that might not be a terrible thing.
Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
Changing gears now, an appeals court is allowing Texas to enforce parts of a tough new law that would close all but seven of the state's abortion facilities. The New Orleans-based U.S. Fifth Circuit Court ruled today that Texas can immediately enforce a rule making abortion clinics statewide spend millions of dollars on hospital-level upgrades. A U.S. district judge ruled in August that requiring such upgrades was less about safety than making access to abortion difficult. The new restrictions were part of a sweeping 2013 anti-abortion law that conservatives say protects women's health. Doug Wright is the Dallas-born playwright with a Pulitzer Prize and a Tony nomination. KERA's Jerome Weeks reports this week Wright was back in Dallas for a Theater 3 staging of his latest musical, Hands on a Hard Body.
This is the 1997 documentary, Hands on a Hard Body. It's about a last person standing contest at a truck dealership in Longview, Texas. A dealer explains what, other than economic need, would motivate some Texans to stand 3 to 4 days without sleep with their hands on a Nissan pickup they hope to win.
Trucks to a Texan is kind of like his hat. You know, it's either a cowboy hat or he's going to have a hat on his head. And that's the way trucks are here in Texas.
And this is how the musical Hands on a Hard Body expands that little observation.
If you live in the South, you can drive an Accord.
But if you live in Texas and you ain't got no truck, honey, you're stuck. Honey, you're stuck.
Doug Wright, who grew up in Dallas, had long been fascinated by the Hard Body documentary.
What I love about the documentary is it's admittedly a portrait of a very specific small town, and yet the central metaphor is the great American promise. If you're tenacious, if you work hard, you will succeed. And lurking just beneath that is Darwin's survival of the fittest.
Wright got composer and lyricist Amanda Green interested in the project, and Green brought in composer Trey Anastasio of the rock band Phish. Their show was not going to traffic in the usual yee-haw Texas cliches. It's not a grim musical, but characters in Hard Body do face foreclosure and unemployment. They're the working poor, people who haven't benefited from the Texas economic miracle. Last year on Broadway, Hard Body earned 3 Tony nominations and closed in less than a month.
About once a year, a lead critic in New York will write the familiar editorial, "Why are musicals all superficial glitz? Why can't we have a musical about real human beings?" And so I honestly thought we were serving that up on a silver platter, and lo and behold, we didn't survive.
Hard Body has had a healthy life post-Broadway. There have been a dozen productions around the country, including Theater 3's area premiere. Wright goes way back with the theater. In 1979, when he was 14, he acted there. After that, he did almost anything he could to stay in the theater.
I spent the bulk of my childhood in these halls or in the Dallas Theater Center, and those two institutions enabled me, as a nervous young gay kid in Texas, to survive childhood.
Wright says, more than anyone, Texans will judge Hard Body on authenticity. Texans know trucks. They know their fellow Texans, Marine vets, immigrants, oil field workers. In fact, Wright says one reason Hardbody has found an audience after Broadway is its treatment of ordinary faith. The language in Hardbody is occasionally salty, but Wright and lyricist Green have created the rare musical with characters who are decent, joyful Christians.
Yeah! Blessed is he, blessed is he, glad in the joy of my Lord's company.
If we were going to represent them truly, we needed to honor that. And so it amuses us that this decadent gay playwright and this nice Jewish girl have written a musical that has the church folk clapping their hands and stomping their feet.
You feel his holy joy.
Yeah!
Yes! Do you feel
Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
Hands on a Hardbody runs through October 19th at Theater 3.